As a kid, I remember I had lots of plans that were going to be foolproof. I had my room, you know, a lock system so that if my brother ever tried to come in, I would know that he got into my room. And my plan was going to be foolproof until it wasn't. So this phrase that we don't use too often, what it really means, if something is foolproof, it means that it is so well designed that it is or easy to use that it cannot go wrong or be used wrongly. So if you could be promised to foolproof your life, it means that it would be so easy and so well set up that it could not go wrong, that it could not be used wrongly. And does that not sound really good? To set your life up in such a way that you don't have to worry about having things trip you up in life. Because what we all understand is life is full of challenges. It's really hard to navigate. Life is simply tough. And we have to understand there are all sorts of potholes, all sorts of temptations that are trying to lure you away from where you know you should be going, lead you down dark roads that will ultimately leave you filled with regret. It's really easy in this world to dig yourself a hole, not realize that you're digging it, find yourself in the bottom and look around and go, how am I going to get out of here? And so if we foolproof our lives, though, what it means is that we're building our lives in such a way that we won't find ourselves stuck in the pit. But the truth is, most of you have probably dug a pit for yourself and hopped in before. Maybe you have racked up credit card debts and you just kind of were going down that road and all of a sudden one day you realize that you were paying more in interest every month than what you could afford to be paying at all, much less pay it off. Or you see that house and you fall in love with it and your heart says, I have to have it, even though you know it's going to be too big of a mortgage. Or my son did a truck payment that he deeply regrets, but once you buy the truck with the $650 payment, you have a $650 payment, and now all of the finances become a mess because of one decision that you made maybe years ago. Or a lot of young people, you know, they know save sex till marriage, but sex seems like fun, and all it takes is a night or a month with somebody doing things you shouldn't be doing, and now you have a child together, and your life is tied together with a person that you really wish you hadn't tied your life with. Maybe you have child support payments for 18 years that you're going to make because of a night that you had. Some people get married to the wrong person because he's so handsome. And then they very quickly realize that, you know what, the Bible says we should be marrying people who were equally yoked, that we share the same faith. And when you marry somebody who isn't a Christian and you are, it makes your life really, really hard. Some people I've seen, they get fired from a job because they're lazy or they don't show up on time, and it's no big deal. They just got another job, and they get fired from that job after a short amount of time. And the first couple jobs, it's not a big deal, but then when you go to apply for a job and over the last 2 years you can't show that you actually worked anywhere for over 3 or 4 months, all of a sudden you start going, nobody's calling me back for that job interview. Well, you kind of made a mess of your job history. You dug a pit you didn't realize you were digging because you were lazy, and now you're struggling to get out. Some people drive like maniacs until the cops get them, and then their insurance gets astronomical because they have to get SR-22 insurance. Or they hang out with bad friends, and it leads you to ultimately making bad choices. And you look around one day and go, how did I ever get here? And if some of these things that I've mentioned, you're like, Ryan, you're airing my dirty business. I'm not trying to air anybody's dirty business. Believe me, if you heard one of those and you're like, that's my story, somebody next to you probably has a story of one of these other things. We've all done it. We've all made bad decisions that hurt us in the long run. But what we see when we go through the book of Proverbs is we have a guy who's writing all this stuff down because he's saying, I want to help you avoid the hurt. I don't want you to have to learn through experience. I want you to learn through the writing so that you can build a life that is sustainable and successful and is blessed by God. And so our summer series is going to be walking through this book of Proverbs and the wisdom that helps you foolproof your life. And the lessons we learn hopefully are going to guide you like a compass to making better decisions through all of your life to help you get where you want to go. And today we're going to start at the beginning. We're going to look at the very starting point. What's the most important thing every single person must do? If you want to build a life with a solid foundation that's you're capable of building up in the direction that you want to go. And so, the starting point is the fear of the Lord. We're going to be looking at Proverbs chapter 1 and 2 today. The first question we look at is, who's writing this book? Ultimately, the author of any advice you receive is really important. Right now, the internet is full of advice, and people read it, and they go, this is true. You should double check who wrote the article that you are going to base your beliefs upon. There is a lot of terrible advice out there on the internet. Like, if you're going to build your life on somebody's thoughts, you better check their credentials. I once had somebody recommend marriage advice to me. His first marriage ended after 9 months, and his second marriage was a shotgun wedding to make sure that he was married before the baby was born. And I kindly said, no, thank you. I don't need to receive marital advice from you. So who is the person who wrote this book of Proverbs? We get the answer, the very first verse. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 1. It says, the Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. And now some of you might say, okay, that doesn't mean anything to me. He was a king. Well, actually, we have this great story in 1 Kings chapter 3. Solomon was David's son. King David, he's like a big part of the Old Testament. David died and Solomon was still a young boy. You know, he might have been 8 to 12 years old and he was put in charge of the entire kingdom of Israel. This is a heavy load put on him. And one night, God appeared to Solomon in a dream. And in the dream, God said, Solomon, you can ask me for absolutely anything, and I will grant it to you. And you would think a child that young, like if he had a genie lamp, if I had a genie lamp when I was 8, 10, 12 years old, I'd have made some really foolish wishes. But what Solomon asked for specifically was he asked for a discerning heart and to be able to distinguish right from wrong. And that answer pleased God greatly. And so God's response to Solomon in 1 Kings 3 verses 11 and 12, God said this to him, since you have asked for this and not for long life or wealth for yourself, nor have asked for the death of your enemies, but for discernment in administering justice, I will do what you have asked. I will give you a wise and discerning heart so that there will never have been anyone like you, nor will there ever be. That's God's way of saying, Solomon, you're going to be the smartest guy who's ever lived. And to this day, we believe that still to be true. That's the man who wrote this book of Proverbs. That's the man that we're going to read his wisdom and try to learn from for ourselves. With a small side note, chapter 30 and 31 were written by a guy named Agur and Lemuel. But it says it at the beginning of the chapter. Solomon's sayings are pretty much everything else except for the last two chapters. So, why is Solomon writing this? The super smart guy decided to write down everything he's learned, but why? The next two verses share his purpose for writing. In verse 2 and 3, it says, for gaining wisdom and instruction, for understanding words of insight, for receiving instruction in prudent behavior, doing what is right and just and fair. If you look at the words here he uses, wisdom, instruction, insight, prudent behavior. It's a lot of different ways of saying this book is to help guide. It's talking about integrity. It's talking about decision making. It's not a list of hard and fast rules. It would be a lot easier in life to simply have a rule book and follow every rule to the letter of the law and have it work out. But that's not how life is. Life is not black and white. Wisdom guides you in the gray areas of life. And for any of you who have been alive for any amount of time, you realize very quickly, life truly is not black and white. There are a lot of situations that you might come to in life and be like, I don't know what to do. I know the Bible. I love Jesus. And there's no verse that specifically tells me what to do or how to handle this situation with this person. And that's what Proverbs is trying to help us with. It's not telling us, when this happens, do this, when this happens, do that. It's trying to give us a mind of discernment and insight so that when you find yourself in the gray areas, you're able to choose wisely to avoid the pitfalls and to make the decisions that honor God and lead you down paths of righteousness. So, who should pay attention? The next verses. Who is going to benefit from this book Solomon is writing? And who's going to benefit the most from this series I'm preaching? And some of you might be thinking it must be this front row. The young ones who have not lived that much. They are still naive. But what you actually are going to see is it's for everybody. This is what Solomon writes. Verse 4. For giving prudence to those who are simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. Let the wise listen and add to their learning. And let the discerning get guidance. So yes, it is for the simple, the young, the naive. It's for teens and young adults and people who haven't experienced some of the pain in life to say, hey, you don't have to learn from your own bad decisions. Some people are like, I only learn from experience. That's a bad way to learn. A better way is to learn from others who have gone before you and avoid the pitfall altogether. I learned so much from my older brother. I was grateful. He dug a lot of holes for himself, holes that I didn't have to step into. That's what he's trying to do in Proverbs here. For the young, for the simple, for those who haven't experienced a lot of life, there's going to be some stuff in the book you might not recognize, but if you know it when you come up to those decision points, you'll know which way to choose. But also, it's for the wise. Add to your learning. Yes, old dogs can learn new tricks. At what point do you really want to get in life and say, you know what? I don't need to learn anymore. I've got it all figured out and I have arrived. Hopefully that is none of you, that you have this desire to want to know how God wants you to think and choose and decide and to grow in discernment, not only for yourself, but so that you can then pass wisdom on to others, to the next generation. That's why God made a multi-generational church and why we want this place to be a multi-generational church, because the wisdom of those who have gone before can be very helpful for the young. So what did Solomon write in this book? Verse 6, he tells us what's included. If you've never read the Proverbs, you might be wondering, like, okay, why is this book different? Because it isn't like the other books of the Bible. In fact, once you get past chapter 9, it's more like a collection of fortune cookies. Like, it really is. There's just a phrase, you know, two lines typically paired together, maybe four, and then another two lines, and the two topics don't go together at all. It's very much random through the topics. And so in this series, we're actually going to be collecting different verses that are tied together, but they're not like all found in one chapter together. And so it is a little bit different. And this is how Solomon describes it in verse 6. He says, for understanding proverbs and parables, the sayings and riddles of the wise. This book is written almost in riddles, in stories. And it's to help you grow in your discernment. He doesn't just say, when this happens, do this. Instead, he speaks in figurative language to help us think more deeply about the point he's trying to make. The really important point here to understand is proverbs are not promises, okay? There are a lot of things that proverbs will say. If you do this, then you will have long life. Does that mean that every single person who follows Jesus is going to live into their 80s? We know that's not true. Proverbs are more like principles. They're the norm. They're what frequently holds true, But that doesn't mean that it is a guarantee. But God, I did this. I should experience that. The proverb says so. Proverbs are not promises. One of the key verses to understand this with is in Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6, where it says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. A lot of people hold this verse and they're like, but God, this is a promise you made, and so you have to deliver on this. Many of you in this room, myself included, have children that aren't where we hoped they would be. They're not where we trained them up to go spiritually. But here's the thing, we don't get to force our faith onto them. The principle is true. Train them up in the way you want them to go. Raise your kids in church. Teach them to follow the Lord and to love Jesus with all their heart. And more likely than not, at some point, they're going to realize that that's what they need in their lives. But it doesn't mean that 100% of our sons and daughters are going to grab our faith the way we desire for them. They're not promises. They are principles. So, where are we supposed to begin? If we're going to jump into this book, the heart of our passage is in verse 7. It's the starting point of everything we're going to do. If you miss this, or if you don't agree with this verse, then don't even bother with the rest of the book. This is the foundation for everything built around it. Verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. What you believe about God is where your knowledge begins. If you don't love God and trust God, respect God, and want to obey Him, then you have the wrong view of the world and how the world works. Your decision making is going to be different than how God wants your decision making to work. If you don't start with a relationship with God and saying, God, you are foundational, you are the rock upon which I am going to build my life, then you're building on something else, and none of these rules apply. And when you say, my life isn't working out the way I expected, I would point back and say, you got to get back to the starting point. Building your life on the rock, on a fear of the Lord, on a respect for who He is, and that what He says is actually true and worth following. So I was raised in the church. I went to church all the time with my parents, and my life was pretty good. And then I went to college, and I was like, this is great, new rules. I can live a different way. I don't have to have a fear of the Lord. I'm going to do what college kids at the University of Wisconsin do. And you all know what that is. There is a lot of beer involved. And guess what? Life doesn't go for me how I expected it to go. My grades weren't as good as they should have been. My relationships weren't very healthy with different people. I had a hole in my pocket because every Thursday and Friday, my money was going to things that it shouldn't have been going to. And it took until me realizing I'm trying to live my life the way college kids live it. I'm a fool living my life the way the fools around me are saying, this is the good life. Except it wasn't the good life. It was a mess. How many of those people in my life am I still friends with? None, because I didn't even have true friendships. I was a fool following the fools down the pit that we were all digging together. And it was until I got my life back on track and went to the starting point and said, okay, I've got to build my life on God, that all of a sudden things started to turn around, started to make sense, relationships were healed, and I started getting my life where God wanted it to go. The same is true for every one of you in this room. Maybe you're looking and you're like, yeah, life's not going exactly how I want. Are you building it on God the way that He has really called you to? Or are you just dabbling right now? You're learning a little bit, but you're not willing to fully establish your life with Him. Like, this is where it starts. If you want the life that you dream about, something that's secure and that tangible and successful and that's actually going somewhere and not easily knocked over by mistakes you make, it starts with a relationship with God, period. There's no other way around it. Everything else can be easily knocked down. That's why Jesus tells the parable of the man who builds his life on the rock and the other man, the foolish man who builds his life on the sand. People who are not in relationship with Jesus are building their lives on sand, and it is easily wiped away by the storms. Okay, we keep moving on. If we jump a little further down into the book, in chapter 1, verse 20 and 21, it talks about how it's really not hard to find wisdom. For years in our culture, self-help books have been out trying to tell you, if you live your life this way, you'll be happier and more content. And now it's websites and influencers online and the TikTok that tell you, do it this way and you'll be happy. Do things that way and you'll be healthier and you'll be more activity and your body will look better and all these things. And people are trying to follow wisdom and it feels like it's all over calling to us, but everybody's pulling a different direction. Solomon actually says, yes, wisdom is actually easy to find. It's not top secret. You don't have to come to four different levels of classes at First Baptist before I'll finally tell you the secret of wisdom. It's in the book of Proverbs. Every one of you has either a Bible at home or a smartphone that has access to the book of Proverbs. I can guarantee it. Every one of you has the book of Proverbs probably within 20 feet of your bed every single night. Between a phone or a Bible. But some people just don't read it. Okay? So in verse 20 and 21, it says, out of in the open, wisdom calls aloud. She raises her voice in the public square. On top of the wall, she cries out at the city gate. She makes her speech. God is saying he wants all of you to have discernment and insight and a mind that thinks how he thinks so that you act how he would act. That's his desire for every one of you. And he wants to make this easy and have good access to it. And so with that in mind, I have a challenge for the church. Proverbs, 31 chapters. Most months, except not June, 31 days. Today's the first day of the month. If you commit to reading Proverbs chapter 1 today and Proverbs chapter 2 tomorrow, you'll be reading the chapter of the date all the way until July 1st when you will read Proverbs 31. You will read all of the wisdom that has been written down to help you foolproof your life in just 31 days. I will email you tomorrow to remind you and probably another email later in the week until you just like email me and say, hey, Ryan, stop emailing me this. But I think it would be amazing if our whole church said, let's commit to do this. Let's read Proverbs over the month of June. It takes like 3 minutes. This is not a high commitment. Wisdom is calling in the streets. Come and learn from me. God's giving us this opportunity. Let's dig in and do this summer together. So if it's so available to everybody, why isn't everybody wise? You would think that more people would hear this message and go, yeah, this sounds pretty good. I don't want to be a fool. I don't want to fall into a pit. I don't want to have to dig myself out of a mess. It's wide open. It's available. Shouldn't everybody be wanting to do this? We would think so. But that's not the way life works. Proverbs 1 verse 22. How long will you who are simple love your simple ways? How long will you mockers delight in mockery and fools hate knowledge? Or as one modern poet, Taylor Swift, said, haters going to hate, hate, hate. People like the way their life is. They just are used to it. It's all they know. Those who grew up in a chaotic home would say, I didn't like the chaos. But then they're the people who bring the drama into their relationships because it's what they know. They don't like it, they say, but they're used to it, and so they build it. Some people are just mockers. They're sarcastic. They put people down. And they know their relationships with other people aren't necessarily great, but they like being the sarcastic one, and so they just keep saying those things. Mockers keep mocking. Fools like to live in their foolishness. They enjoy their sin, and they just are used to life the way they know it, and they don't want to do the hard work to change. But if you want the life offered by wisdom, then you have to start with a healthy fear of the Lord and make a concerted effort to change. It isn't just going to happen. It takes a commitment to say, you know what? What I'm doing isn't working. Maybe what Ryan is saying is right. Maybe that's what I need. Maybe I need to read the book of Proverbs and actually pay attention to some of these verses and start doing the hard work of changing my life and not doing what I've always done before. But that doesn't happen by accident. Change in your life takes like a commitment to say, this doesn't work. I'm going to try something else. Otherwise, fools will just continue in their simple ways and mockers will delight in their mockery. So I want to conclude with this. Why is it worth your time to seek wisdom? Why is it worth our time to go through this series at all? Let me read two passages, one from chapter 2 and one from chapter 3. You'll read them on Monday and Tuesday as you join in with me in reading through Proverbs. Proverbs 2, verses 10 and 11. For wisdom will enter your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will protect you, and understanding will guard you. Protection and a guard sounds really good in a life that has so many things coming to knock you down. Chapter 3, verse 16 through 18. Long life is in her right hand. This is talking about wisdom. And in her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are pleasant ways, and her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her. Those who hold her fast will be blessed. Seriously, are these not the things that you long for in life? We want a pleasant life. We want protection from the storms that can rob us of everything. We hope to have long, healthy lives, and we want to have the finances so that we don't have to worry about money from day to day. We're even told that learning and following God's wisdom is the path to peace and to blessings. This is what's available to every single one of you if you're willing to do the hard work, to learn, to grow in discernment and insight, and also have the discipline not only to put it into your head, but to live it out when the moment comes to act the way that your head knows that you are supposed to act. These principles that Solomon wrote down, the wisest man who God said would ever live, are a lot more reliable than what you're going to find on the internet. They're more reliable than what any book is going to tell you. They're something that saints for thousands of years have built their lives on these principles and have found satisfaction and contentment. And maybe you've got a grandpa or a grandma in your life that they're like, man, they have a life worth emulating. And they were probably going to church and living by these rules, these principles in this book. And if you want a life like that, then you need to be willing to commit yourself to learning these things and to living them out. But the choice is always yours. You can follow the way of the wise, or you can be led by the fool down the path of self-destruction. I know which way I want to go. Would you bow your heads with me as we pray?